It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, a checkup on what's happening in Congress with USA Today's Paul Singer.
But first, many of us woke up this morning to reports of the Heartbleed bug, a glitch in the online encryption software that's supposed to protect our personal data, banking, info, and passwords.
Cybersecurity experts say this bug could affect more than 500,000 websites and allow hackers to steal our private data or impersonate us online.
So what is the Heartbleed bug and how can we protect ourselves against it? We've asked Nate Vack, a research programmer at the University of Wisconsin, to explain. Nate, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Well, the Heartbleed bug is all the talk this morning, especially in web security circles and among users. What is it?
So it is a bug by which hackers can download little pieces of data from web servers. They can't choose what data they're downloading, but they can just say, give me a little bit. And maybe that contains passwords or credit card numbers or things that let you log into websites, essentially.
And this is a vulnerability that some in the know have been aware of for a little while. It's just come out to the general public. What is the vulnerability within the software? What happens there?
So in the security communications protocol, there is something you can do called a heartbeat where you say, hey, just send some data back to me. I'm going to send you 1,000 bytes of data. Send me 1,000 bytes back. But really, you only send it 1 byte. And the server gets confused and just sends you 999 other bytes from somewhere that it knows about. It's a crapshoot what you get. So it's really weird.
So, hackers can't go in and say, I want to pull Veronica's credit card number. It's just sort of random what they get out of it.
Absolutely. So the data, one of the things that is really frustrating about this is this doesn't leave any traces in anybody's logs. It just looks like ordinary traffic to the rest of the world. So nobody can know how long people have been doing this. This bug, we've only known about it for a few weeks, but it's existed for 2 years. So there could have been evil people out there exploiting this for years and years, just downloading data, and we would never know. But again, nobody can go in and say, I want your data, Veronica, I want your data, Nate, and steal that.
So how widespread is the SSL encryption stuff that is being vulnerable right now to Heartbleed?
So SSL encryption backs everything that you do on the Internet that is secure. The good news is this isn't a design flaw. This is an implementation flaw. This is a bug in one specific kind of SSL software. The bad news is that it's a really popular one. It's one of the free ones that's used almost everywhere. So anything running on a modern Linux server, which, if you're a customer, you have no idea what is running on your website of choice. But it's not everything. And it's probably not even half or not even more than half.
A lot of times we'll be on a website, maybe doing some secure shopping, we think, and a little padlock will show up by the URL. And we assume that this means that what we're doing is safe, that it is private.
Yes.
So should we not be assuming that anymore?
Well, privacy is always relative, right? It's very private in general. It's not trivial by any means to just download all of this data to break that privacy completely. One of the other risks that this bug has is there is a way for people to, by downloading all the memory on the server, find out how it's doing that encryption. And then if that person can intercept your traffic, can also see what you're sending to and from that server, then it can read everything as it goes over the network, over a wireless network or such. That's really unlikely to happen on a widespread level and would be something that is very targeted in general because intercepting a lot of traffic is very hard.
Can you give us a sense of some of the big sites that might be most affected by this?
I know that Yahoo was affected for a long time, or not a long time. I know it's been affected for a long time because it's been 24 hours. I believe Google and other, most people running any significant number of servers has something that is affected by this. And it's been interesting to see what services have sent me emails saying, hey, you should change your passwords. You should do X, Y, and Z. And that number has been a lot smaller than I expected, and I don't know quite what to make of that.
All right. Well, so speaking of changing your password and or freaking out, should we be doing both those things?
I wouldn't freak out about this. I would freak out if you're running a website. If you are running a website, you should not be listening to this radio show. You should be fixing your servers right now. But if you are, what I would do, honestly, is look at the emails that you've gotten from the services that you use. And if they say, hey, we think you should update your you should change your password, or we think something has been leaked, then take the actions they recommend.
And if you haven't gotten any emails, should you just stay the course and hope for the best?
You know, I don't know exactly what else you can do. You could go and change your password everywhere, but that is kind of insane. One thing that's very important in general, and this kind of reinforces, is using the same password, using the same login and password on a whole lot of websites is a bad idea, because if one of these websites gives it up somehow, then people can get into all of your other websites. So if you've been thinking about, should I try one of those password manager things that lets me use a different password everywhere I go, now is a good time to do that.
And I understand that there are some programs now that will help you manage multiple passwords. I mean, the reason people use their pet's name for every login is that it's convenient and they can remember it. But
yeah.
You're saying get over that and maybe use one of these other tools for managing it.
Yeah, 1Password is a really common one that people like a lot. Apple has some stuff built into its thing. I will admit that I'm not very good about this, and I use a throwaway password on a lot of websites. So now you know.
Now it's out there. Well, is this going to be a wake-up call for people that there are vulnerabilities? Maybe there always will be. We'll be waiting for the next shoe to drop. Maybe it's time, for instance, for tech companies to beef up their encryption software, too.
Even more than that, it is time to really think about how people architect stuff and to really think about, okay, does this server really need to know all of this information? Can we minimize the amount of data that we lose in the event of a breach, which is inconvenient because it's expensive to do that. It's easier to put everything on one box in general or not think about those things. But it is also risky as it lets little innocuous problems build on each other and get out of hand.
Nate, anything else we can do aside from changing our passwords to protect ourselves both from this Heartbleed bug and anything else that might be coming down the pike?
You know, if you're really interested in checking if a website is vulnerable to the Heartbleed bug, you can just search for Heartbleed Tester on Google. And I'm not going to try and read web addresses over the phone because it's ridiculous. But you'll find some things that you just enter a web address and it will check and see, hey, is this site affected? And then just, you know, always, I guess it's always worth thinking about what information you're giving to who when. Because even in a world where all of the technology works perfectly, when you're giving your data to a website, you have to trust that the people running that website are trustworthy, good people. And it's really easy to forget that, you know, behind all those computers, there are people who you have to trust, too.
That's right. So it's not just the computers on their own. There are people behind, and people are vulnerable. So,
yeah.
Nate, thank you so much for joining us. You've given us some ideas, and I guess we'll just be waiting to see what happens next. We appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me.
That was Nate Vack, a research programmer at the University of Wisconsin and co-founder and hacker-in-chief of an internet startup called Gimlet. And we posted the website to check if you've been affected on our Facebook page.